Who is the Violetta?
It's Eileen Perez. She's a wonderful, wonderful soprano who's done quite a few concerts with Domingo already. But she and I haven't seen each other since 10 years. We did a concert in Amsterdam of a Schubert mass 10 years ago, and it was just great to, because it's very, very rare to meet up with colleagues. So it's been 10 years, and we're all doing this together, and it's fantastic.
How did you get selected for this? It is a great honor. How did you get to get picked to do this?
Actually, I met Domingo a couple of years ago in passing at a after party, and he worked with a good friend of mine who also started with the Springfield Regional Opera. In the first opera I did was La Notte di Figaro when I was I think 18 or 19, and the director's name is Thaddeus Strasburger, and he's originally from the area, and he's gone on to become a pretty famous director in the opera world. And at the time, Domingo was singing his production of I Due Foscari at Covent Garden, and I was in Covent Garden doing Cellini, and I met him afterwards, and we started talking about his career, and I just said, you know, I've looked up to you, and I started as a baritone as well, and he's like, oh, wonderful, and I've heard good things about you, and I said, well, you've heard of me. He's like, yes, of course, anybody who sings Cellini, I want to know who it is, because it's the only role that I didn't get to sing that I wanted to. And we had a couple of talks, and he along with the Chicago Lyric Opera, chose me to do this concert because he really liked my singing. But it's really an honor and especially a dream, because I never actually got to hear Domingo sing live until I'm standing next to him and singing with him, and just he's being my father on a rehearsal the other day, and it was really a dream come true, and kind of funny and surreal, because like I said, 20 years ago, I started with the Springfield Regional Opera in the chorus, and I watched the big three tenors concert that became so famous, and I thought, someday I'm going to meet those guys, and I want to sing with Domingo, and 20 years later, here
you are. And of course, this is not your first time at Lyric Opera either.
No, this is my third time, actually. I think it was about 4 years ago I did Die Fledermaus. And then 2 years ago, I did The Merry Widow with Renee Fleming. And that was a fantastic time. But yeah, I'm hoping to come back often to Chicago, because I love the house. And it's close to home that I can actually come back and forth without too much hassle, which is not the case with most of my 8 months out of the year that I'm traveling throughout Europe. More or less, I'm still working 7 or 8 months out of the year in Europe, and then the rest of the time I'm here at home. And I'm starting to break into the U.S. scene, but a lot of people don't realize that it is very much two worlds, two opera worlds, and there's very few people that have their foot in both. And so it's taking a little while to come back here, because it's the old adage that you're not exotic enough if you come from a place, you know, so you have to go away, make it, and then come back. And so that's the stage of the career that I'm in. I was able to make quite a bit of headway in Europe, and now pretty much every country in Europe I've sung in, and will be in the next couple of years as well. And I have a couple of things coming up in the States, but I'm wanting to more and more, because I love the opera scene in the States, and the audiences are quite frankly much more hungry for this type of a theater, because the opportunities are much far and few between.
And of course, you are homegrown here in the Ozarks, and came up through Springfield Regional Opera, and then came back a few years ago to become the company's artistic director. And one of the reasons that we're talking right now, not only is to congratulate you on the concert in Chicago, but to say that actually you're going to be back here this weekend to do the pre-performance talks before Springfield Regional Opera's production of the Donizetti comedy Don Pasquale at the Gilloys.
Yes. It's a great honor for me to be able to do this concert. And then tomorrow I fly back with my wife, who's actually, she's singing Norina in the production.
Yes.
And it's really a family affair. And talk about nepotism. But I promise that it will be a good show, and people will not realize that it's all my family, because we wear a lot of hats.
Not only is your wife singing the lead female role of Norina, but your brother Sean is directing the production.
Exactly, and my mother did the costumes, and my father helped with the sets. And they're going to be the bit parts, and my mother and father kind of run the restaurant, and they'll be coming out giving lots of comical moments because, you know, life is a stage, and that's exactly what my whole family has treated everything. I mean, in everything that we do, we've been doing it together since the day I was born, and it was...
It's always been that way for you and Sean both.
Yeah, oh yeah, and my sister as well, who's, you know, she's doing great for herself. She's actually going to be passing through in a couple of weeks. She's touring with the Boston Pops. She's the soloist doing all of Gershwin hits from Boston Pops, and I tried to get tickets in Kansas City, and I couldn't even get them. They're totally sold out, so
she's
doing pretty well for herself, yeah.
Yes, she is.
But Don Pasquale is, it's really a fantastic opera, and it's one of those that everybody's kind of heard of, but they don't realize that all the music in it is from that one opera. And it's really a comedic masterpiece, and the interesting thing about it is many historians have said that it's the last opera buffa. So the last in the long line of tradition of operas that take their precedence from commedia dell'arte and the old stories of kind of stock characters to tell common people stories rather than stories about gods or kings. These stock characters are very, very prevalent in our society and in all of our arts nowadays. Probably the most well-known vaudevillian or you could say opera buffa or commedia dell'arte characters are the Disney characters. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and all of these, you always have the couples of the lovers. You have the stupid one. You have the villain, and people will readily recognize who's the dumb one, who's the lovers, and things like that, and who's the schemer. And it's something that's become so interesting to me because I always loved growing up and doing these plays that my mom did, and we did lots of vaudeville plays. But opera buffa is a much heightened version of this, and it was the bow tie to commedia dell'arte because it brought all of these characterizations and really democratized the arts for the commoner. It became such a popular form of opera. And just as in our Le Nozze di Figaro that we did the year before, that's kind of my idea to show that opera is about the common man. Yes, it's not only about gods and kings and princes and princesses, but it is for the common people, and opera is for everyone.
And in fact, this production of Don Pasquale, you've updated it to an Italian restaurant setting.
Yeah, we've kind of taken the Don term full on, and everybody has the connotation with the Don, you know, the Godfather. So he's in our version. He is the proprietor of an Italian restaurant that always wanted to be part of the Rat Pack, but just never had the talent. But he considers himself quite a gangster and a mobster, but he's not at all. He's just a big softy and a buffoon. So, but I think you're going to really love it, especially our cast is fantastic. We have Todd Payne, professor at Missouri State University, fantastic, fantastic baritone. Then we also have my wife is Norina, and she's sung all over the world. So lest people think that that she's just getting the role from being a local person. Then we have Ben Wager, who's playing our Don Pasquale, who was our Figaro last year. Fantastic singer that he and I were good friends in Berlin together. That's how we met, and he came back last year to inaugurate our new opera direction. And my good friend John Irvin, who's a fantastic tenor who's starting to make a major international career. Actually, Sunday afternoon after the performance, he literally has to get in a cab after he bows and goes to the plane because he's got his first rehearsal at Covent Garden the next day on Monday morning. And couple of months, he's making his Covent Garden debut, and then in a couple of months later this fall, he'll be making his Metropolitan Opera debut. So if you really want to hear some amazing singing, please come out Saturday night and Sunday afternoon for those that are not night owls. And we're going to put on a great show, I promise you.
It's such a fun opera with such gorgeous music.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I understand that opera is a bit difficult at first to listen to something in another language, but we have a really great surtitle system, and we've updated some of the surtitles so it'll be a little more edgy and fun for people to understand. But the big thing is that it's not a scary thing. It's fun, hilarious. Most people don't realize that most of our human communication, 80-85% of it, is not words. It's human interaction and it's acting, and that's one of the great things that you can do when you go to operas that are in different languages that you can't understand, is to start watching people and seeing them interact without having to get words in the way. And it's really, really fun fun for people that have never done it, and that's one of the things that I love to talk to audiences about who've never seen opera. It can be so much fun, and it's a little intimidating, but there's no reason to be intimidated. We're all buffoons.
So. No, it's interesting. You had to actually do a switcheroo here as far as the particular work you were going to do for this spring production, because it yep. originally was going to be Pagliacci with you in the role of Canio.
Yes, exactly. We've had to postpone that for a couple of years just because of the Domingo Gala that I'm doing, and a couple of other reasons because of budgets and such things like that. So. Yeah, so it's always difficult trying to figure out exactly what you're going to be doing, but I'm very, very excited for the Pagliacci that we'll present in a few years, whenever I'm free in 2020, so I think that's probably when we're going to do it. So that's a good thing.
That's yes.
That's not a brag, it's just crazy. I think it's hilarious because I went from not knowing the next day what I was going to do and being a pickup musician and sing sometimes at the... on the streets, and now knowing where I'm going to be literally every single day for the next 4 years.
That's the life of an international opera performer. That's the way it works.
Exactly. Yeah, if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
I've been very lucky. Yeah.
Yes, you have, and we're lucky to have you here, definitely. What do you have coming up next for yourself?
I'm flying out in 3 weeks to do a recording and performances of Les Troyens by Berlioz. I'm recording that with Warner Music, and I play Iné, and Joyce DiDonato will be Dido, and that will be released from Warner Records in the summer, I believe. So I do that recording, then I go straight to Zurich, then right after Zurich I'm at Covent Garden, and then Munich, doing all title roles. It's pretty crazy talking about my career now, because it's a dream come true, because I'll be doing Orlando Palladino, which is a Haydn opera in Zurich for my debut, then back to Covent Garden to do Mitridate from Mozart, which in a fantastic production that hasn't been there in 30 years. It was the famous Bruce Ford production, that Graham Vick production
yes.
that's set in Asia. Fantastic. And then I'm doing Hoffman in the Bayerische Staatsoper. So not bad.
I
can't complain. I can't complain. And then the BBC Proms, that's right, with John Elliott Gardner doing a Damnation of Faust right after that. So... yeah, things are looking up for me. I'm pretty happy.
I can understand that. I keep wondering if the Met is going to actually take any kind of a flyer toward you.
Yeah, we'll see. It's always, people always say, well, why haven't you sung here? And I'm like, well, it's not because I don't want to.
Right.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people don't realize that singers are... we're not really that in control of our destinies. You know, we do what we do, and hopefully people like us, but every house is different, and you know, they're basically small governments, and if certain governments don't like you, then, you know, you're out of luck. You got to find work somewhere else, and which is initially why I moved to Europe so many years ago, because I tried to do my weird, obscure repertoire, Rossini and Mozart and things,
right?
And they were like, yeah, that's not going to work here in the States. And I said, well, I need to work on my language and really get good at this weird stuff. So I took about a one-way ticket to Europe and haven't looked back. A lot of my colleagues and my good friends from Europe are starting to create a new renaissance with this type, especially Rossini singers, you know, Joyce DiDonato and Lawrence Brownlee,
right.
and John Osborne. All of my colleagues and friends, they're starting to become more in the mainstream everywhere, and you're even seeing more bel canto and Donizetti at the Met and things like that. And
nice.
I really hope this is an emergence of another bel canto era, because that to me will get me a lot of work. that to me is the point of opera, because it's at the core of the word opera. It means to work, and essentially to change society. And a lot of these bel canto subjects were not just lofty ideas. They were actual human emotions that made the middle class have a reflection of themselves, rather than being these lofty ideas. I really think that opera can change people's minds and hearts, and I've witnessed it all around the world, that I have people that when I sing a song in their own language, they just come up to me and start crying and feel like they know me. And I, in a sense, we kind of do, because music does transcend words, and I think that opera, especially bel canto, can really change people and soften hearts. I really think that's what we need.